Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar's five dealers in one offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Siltahar's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
We have an opportunity to be joined by Nick Ashew of NBC Sports Washington and 106.7 The Fan. Nick, obviously, we had been hearing rumors about something coming out of the Washington Football Organization. Today, the Washington Post sort of blew the lid off of that. Within the last week, reportedly in the article, three significant members of that Washington organization ended up departing under rather abrupt circumstances. How has this story landed out in the nation's capital?
It's been something that people have been talking about and hinting at for, like you said, at least about a week now. And we knew Sunday, when you had a couple of executives abruptly get fired, something wasn't right. And it started to sit with people the wrong way. Like, what's going on? And as people that, you know, some beat reporters were starting to say there were some things that were going to be coming out. And Larry Michael, who's the play-by-play voice of the team, he's been there for 16 years, suddenly retires. And, like, people don't retire from that job a couple weeks before training camp. Like, it's just not, it just doesn't make sense. So you started to hear rumblings, and look, there were a lot of rumors certainly going around the internet, rumors that certainly didn't actually show up in this article. And it's also proof that, you know, you should be careful what you just see on Twitter, because it's not, it doesn't mean that that's always going to be the truth. But there was a lot of rumors certainly circulating about what could come out in this article. And as it came out, earlier today, it was clear it was really bad, and it was a long-standing issue. And a lot of people came forward to work with the Washington Post and tell them their experience working within that building. And it's a incredibly bad look on the organization, whether it's people that are there still, a lot of people that aren't there anymore, and on owner Dan Snyder on top of that.
Well, Carolina Panthers owner Jerry Richardson a couple of years ago was forced to sell his franchise because it was said that racial slurs were used and sexual harassment in the office place came up. And you said, I mean, Daniel Snyder's name has not come up as being a part of this, but how does this affect the Washington team moving forward, knowing as though they were just kind of getting past the whole changing of the name situation?
Yeah, it's really interesting to see where this is going to go, because obviously the situation in Carolina is the first thing that people will bring up. And so here's the thing. Dan Snyder in D.C. is not well-liked by the fan base. I mean, not well-liked is not even the right word. He's not liked. Redskins fans do not like him at all. And this is something that only adds to the reputation that he has of just not being somebody that's easy to work with, to say the least. And clearly this is far beyond easy to work with. But, you know, as you pointed out in this, it's not – the things that were put in this article were far more, you know, him harassing people that he works with and they, you know, being basically a jerk. But in terms of the sexual harassment allegations that were in this article from the Washington Post, that was more other employees. So then you have to look at this and say, well, okay, is that enough of a situation to compare it to what happened in Carolina where he could be out as the owner? I think it's very murky waters, and I think it's hard to just say one or the other. I look at it in some ways and say, well, okay, a lot of college coaches, right, have been fired because really bad things have happened within their program, and they are the head of that program, essentially, so they're supposed to know, right? Like, I think of, I don't know, Rick Pitino, for example, is one, and there's plenty more that we could throw around there. But in this sense, you could say, well, Dan Snyder's the owner. He should know what was going on there. But is it enough to force him out as the owner? I don't know. Some of that has to go with the rest of the owners around the NFL. Do they try and hold him accountable? Does the league try to hold him accountable? Because it's a terrible working environment. I mean, all you have to do is read a few lines of that article and realize it's a horrible working environment. But the question is that going to be enough for the league, if they wanted to force him out, to force him to sell the team? And to be honest with you, I don't think it's going to be. Whether that's right or not, I just don't know if that's enough to make that happen. But I could totally be wrong, and the owners could get together and say, you know, there have been so many things going on over the years, and this organization has been dysfunctional as it is. This is the icing on the cake.
How much of it, obviously, it's phenomenally embarrassing to the organization, but when you're talking about the people that are involved, and you're right, Snyder is not named in the sexual harassment in the article particularly, but the idea that this awareness was almost impossible to ignore is pretty telling. Emily Applegate says in the Post article, talking about former GM Bruce Allen, quote, "I would assume Bruce knew because he sat 30 feet away from me and saw me sobbing at my desk several times every week," end quote. That's the kind of thing that indicates that people who could have known and could have done something about this situation over the years simply didn't, and it didn't bubble up to the people in charge, or the people in charge just didn't take control of it.
And it might even just be the people in charge just didn't care, right? Because that quote is certainly, that's important, because Bruce Allen wasn't named at all in the article other than that. But clearly, if you see somebody that you work with that's sobbing at their desk, and it's more than once, and you're, like, it's not like he's just even another coworker. I mean, he was somebody that was the president of football operations for that organization. You are at the very top other than the owner. You are right there. So you, if you see someone that is in some way distraught emotionally, you have a responsibility to walk over to them and just say, are you okay? Is there something wrong? And clearly that didn't happen. But again, it kind of, well, obviously Bruce Allen's not there anymore, but you know, you go back to this and say, is that again enough? It almost creates sort of a plausible deniability where they're not named as having, you know, there weren't any actions from them, but there also was an action to maybe help the situation, which really makes it a gray area. And it's really difficult, and it's really, honestly, it's unfair, because it's, you continue to read this and see the horrible work environment that was there, and to have it even be in question as to whether or not the person that's at the very top of this, that's helped cultivate this culture or allow this culture to cultivate itself, to say that they could still be in charge after all of this, it is wrong. But I think we have to be honest with ourselves and say that it's a very real possibility that it's not enough to make that type of change, because like, ownership doesn't just happen very often in sports unless the owner just decides they want to sell for business reasons. A situation like this where somebody is forced, it's very rare and it's very difficult to do.
We're talking to Nick Ashew of NBC Washington 106.7, The Fan. Nick, the idea that the organization hired an outside attorney, Belt Wilkinson, to oversee, I guess, whatever all these other things that might have happened with the organization, does that somehow dismiss them of any wrongdoing by not jumping out on this situation earlier?
No, here's the one thing about the Redskins organization, and it's been this way, or not that, it's so hard to get used to not saying that name anymore. The Washington football organization is that they are very reactionary. They're never proactive. They're always reactive. And this was just another example of that, where they were asked multiple times for quotes. I mean, you can read in the Washington Post article, they asked Dan Snyder for quotes multiple times. Most of the people in there refused to talk. So they said, okay, this is about to hit the fan. We're going to need to get ourselves a lawyer because of this. They're never proactive with anything they do. You look at negotiations with players. You look at other PR situations that are not as egregious as this by any stretch of the imagination, but things that they have had in their past, the long list of the dysfunction that they've had for the last two decades plus, it's always reacting after it becomes a story. It's almost like they expect it to just go away. Like they almost have these like soundproof walls in Ashburn, Virginia, which is where the team headquarters is. There's like these soundproof walls where they just ignore everything that's going on until there's a certain point where it finally breaks down the walls and they realize, okay, everybody knows about what's going on. I guess we need to figure out a way to react to this now and try to smooth it over. If we just talk, it won't be as bad as people are saying that it is. They're always just so reactive, and that's been one of the biggest problems with that team. And it's clearly no different with this situation now.
Well, they were proactive about one part, Nick. There are NDAs keeping some of these women from speaking in detail. Is this a situation now where the reactive nature of the organization should be to let those NDAs drop? And if they don't, do you think should the NFL step in and make sure that this gets cleared up by forcing Washington to drop those NDAs?
The NFL has to step in here now. Like, this has to go far above and beyond this organization, because one of the biggest problems in a situation like this, not just specifically with this team, but you know, anytime you hear a story, a situation like this in any workplace, is the fear of stepping forward and retribution, right? A lawsuit, something happening, hurting somebody's career. There's a lot of different fears that somebody would have having gone through situations similar to this. So you have to be, as the NFL, able to step in and make sure that the people that have already been anonymously quoted in this, or maybe more people that didn't even step forward, have the ability to come forward and actually tell their story fully if they haven't already, and not worry about some sort of retribution from the team. And I have no idea what those NDAs say. And clearly, that's something that, you know, a lawyer is going to have that conversation. But there has to be something now from the league that says, that pushes the Redskins aside and takes any power that they may have over any of these former employees that have gone through this to say, we've got your back. We need the full story. You're going to be protected, because that's the only way that you can get the full truth.
So, Nick, what happens if it comes to pass that Daniel Snyder knew about this sort of frat boy type of behavior running rampant in his organization? What is it that the league should do, and how should the fans in Washington feel about their beloved team, knowing as though it's been driven downstream by a guy like Daniel Snyder?
Well, I can tell you this, that everybody that is a fan of the organization has been embarrassed for two decades. So unfortunately, this is nothing new. This is another level of embarrassment. But if you look back, there was a few years ago, there was an article about how they treated their cheerleaders. So this isn't the first time that something like this has happened. It's just now even worse than it was before. So there's just clearly embarrassment from the fan base and people that cover the team, and frustration, especially because you felt like you finally now have a grown-up in charge with Ron Rivera. There's so much respect for Ron Rivera, not just in Washington already, but around the NFL. And he's clearly come in and said, we are changing this culture. But this was part of something that was pre-Ron Rivera. But, you know, you look at this now from a league standpoint, and you've got to at some point step in and say, you have been a problem for over two decades. Your organization hasn't just been bad, but it's been dysfunctional, and it's been a problem, and we've got to do something about it. And I've always said this, too. Owners should be held accountable more than what they are, right? Like, for example, if you're the CEO of a company, and your company's been failing for 20 years and isn't doing what it's been made to do on a successful level, you get fired. But owners, because they own the teams, are almost bulletproof. Now, don't get me wrong. The organization is worth a lot of money, and the one thing that Dan Snyder has been able to hold on to is that they've been one of the most valuable franchises in the NFL for his entire tenure there. In fact, they're worth five times what they were when he actually bought them in 1999 because of the fan base, because of the history, and they used to actually be a very successful, functional franchise back in the day. But there's a certain point where you've got to be able to look at owners who have a consistent track record of failure running an organization and say, you no longer are fit to be a part of this organization, and they should be pushed out, but we just don't see that enough in sports.
Nick, the last one I have for you is the idea that, let's zoom out here. You know, you've covered that team. You know, we cover teams out here. We've covered the NFL. Let's not pretend that maybe things aren't this bad in all the other organizations, but for women in sports, these sort of stories kind of prop up from time to time, and it's problematic. And I guess I want to take one more quote from that from Emily Applegate. She said, it was the most miserable experience of my life, and we all tolerated it because we knew if we complained and they reminded us of this, there were 1,000 people out there who would take our job in a heartbeat. This is something that we know over the years has been sort of systemic. How does the NFL need to look at this, not only with Washington, but then to zoom out a bit and look at their processes around the league?
Well, it's clearly giving them a voice. Somebody that actually goes through a situation like this should be able to feel that they can come forward and they're not going to lose their job. They're not going to ruin their career, right? That's one of the biggest fears you read in there, where it was, they were told specifically, you know, there's thousands of other people that would take your job in a second. And to be in an environment like that and have that fear and that worry, of course people aren't coming through. Of course women aren't coming forward and saying that this is going on with them, because they fear for that. You've got to change that aspect of it first. And if, you know, there was one person actually in the article, Eric Schaefer, a front office executive, who kind of pulled one of them aside and said, let me help you. I will be a witness for you if you need it. We need more people that are willing to do that, that see this happening within an organization, within a business, within a culture, and say, that's not right. I've got your back if you want to do something here. But there's just not enough of that. There's not enough support for people that go through that. That's the big thing that has to change. And that has to be an NFL thing, not an organizational thing.
Nick Ashew of NBC Sports Washington and 106.7 The Fan out in the D.C. area. Thanks so much for the time, especially as this story is breaking. Really appreciate a chance to talk to you tonight.
Appreciate coming on.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. People care about three things when buying a vehicle. Number one, price. Siltahar Motors has the best prices and financing options that fit everyone's current credit and financial situation. Get zero down and 0% financing for 72 months. Number two, selection. Siltahar's five dealers in one offering Ford, Lincoln, Mazda, Volvo, and Maserati with hundreds of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot. And number three, location. Siltahar's right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth, or view their entire selection online at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors, get everything you want out of a dealership.